Praise the Lord. How many know it's a good thing to give unto the Lord? He said it was great. You know, we should give thanks. We give a lot of thanks to the Lord, don't we? It's not just money. It's our whole life. We talked about that a little bit last week. We were talking about how thoroughly we've really been born again, how God has brought us into a place with Him. Amen. All right, let's look at Luke for a minute, chapter 12. Verse 22, I'm going to start there and read a little bit. Now, usually we read out of Matthew, and we know what it says there, and it's very similar here in Luke. But it says here in verse 22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. And how much more are you better than the fowls? Or how much more valuable are you than the birds of the air? Have you thought about it lately? Amen. God cares for you. Verse 25, and which of you, which taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit, or any little bit, amen, by taking thought or taking care or having anxiety or worry over it? We cannot change it, can we? We cannot do that by worrying. We can't make ourselves taller or shorter. We can't change the stature of our person. Hallelujah. He says, if you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Oh, Lord, if then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. So we see here kind of a little progression here that we believe, first of all, and we might have faith, or we would say that God's going to take care of us. Amen. We're not going to worry thinking about finance. We're going to realize the number one, God's your provider, right? You've got some lily faith, don't you? Amen. I've got lily faith. I don't know about you, but it's a good start. God is the provider. Amen. Whether he gives you a job or whatever it is, he's our provider. He said, I am Jehovah Jireh, the God of all provision, the God that sees ahead. He already knows what we need, but before we even ask. Hallelujah. And there's nothing that we have to necessarily worry. Now, see, he'll take care of you regardless. All right? And we need to stop making decisions based on money and what we have. We need to be good stewards, but we don't want to base our decisions solely on what kind of money we have. We want to obey what? His voice, right? So if he is telling you or giving you instruction towards something that you can't yet afford, then what is our place? To begin to trust him. Amen. Say, Lord, you're the provider. You're going to have to take care of it. You're going to have to what? Provide for me. All right. And secondly, many times we come to a place, so really that's the first place. Our first phase, you know, peace, But we come to a place where we have the peace of God. And he begins to graduate us to a place of being a good steward of what we have. See, it's one thing to know he's going to take care of me. He's going to provide for me. I got enough food. I mean, people can be not so good at handling their money, but they get taken care of. God takes care of them somehow. They got enough. They get by. Anybody know anybody like that? You know, maybe they're losing here and there, but they get by. And we can come to a place, hey, God's going to take care of me. But secondly, we want to come into stewardship. Let's look a couple chapters over here, about 3-4. Luke 16. Luke chapter 16 talks a little bit more about the steward. And we'll just start here at the first verse here. And he said also unto the disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said to him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of your stewardship that you may no longer be steward. You will be no longer steward here. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord takes away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I'm ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto them, to the first, he says, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take your bill and write 80 or 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon, or the money of unrighteousness, that when you fail, or when you pass, or die, or they will receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in least is unjust in much. And so, you know, it goes on to say, if therefore you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now here he's talking about the steward that was there, and he's getting ready to be put out of his stewardship. Now, what is a steward? What is a steward? A steward is a person who manages somebody else's money or affairs, right? They manage their affairs, their money, their things. And so here this steward was not doing righteously here, and he's going to get out of his stewardship. So he decides, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure that when I lose this position, other people are going to receive me. Now, God is saying, hey, this guy is doing shrewdly. He's doing something here that makes sense. He's using some wisdom anyway. And he's making some deals with people so that, hey, as soon as I lose this, I can go over there because I helped that guy. And he's going to what? Oh, how many know that? Isn't that true in the world? How many have ever seen that? You know, they scratch somebody's back, and so they got to get over and they got to scratch them back. We see it all the time, don't we? But anyway, he's here and he's saying, hey, he's a steward. And the Lord is saying here, he commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. It wasn't that he was doing righteously, but he did wisely. He was using what he had in order to prepare the way. And he's telling us here, he said, and I say to you, make to yourselves what? Friends, take your money, take the unrighteous money that you have, and be a good steward of it, that when you fail, they may receive you, what? Into everlasting habitation. In other words, you take the unrighteousness of money that's in your hand and you use it to help get the gospel out, to forgive the sin debt of mankind who will be in heaven waiting for you. And they're going to have those arms out ready to receive you. And they are going to be so thankful that you gave whatever it was. Maybe it was $10 to the guy that put a little gas in his car who went and preached the gospel to somebody or got him to the next town. Or you help that person get to the next place where they could proclaim Jesus as Lord. Or you help them financially. You helped ministries to get the gospel to the world. And their sin debt was then canceled, see. And so we want to be faithful, what? Over what is unrighteous that God commit to us. What is the true riches? That is the hearts of men. That is the lives of people. And as we're faithful with what God has given us to continue to cancel debt, he's going to make us faithful over other people that are available. And for some, that may be a major part of your call or maybe most of your call. And so here we're seeing here that the progression, we know that God will take care of us. But are we willing then to then be a steward of what God gives us? And we say, Lord, how much do I live on? What do you want me to give? What is in my heart? Lord, I want to help. Lord, put your heart in me, Lord. I want to help get this gospel to the world. I mean, we are here, but we also help support Ellen Taylor Ministries and other things, you know, that we do for, as a church. And God is raising up people, and people are being saved, and lives are being changed. Disciples are being made. And there are hundreds of churches just in Brazil alone. That's not every place. That's not all the places Ellen have been. Amen. That's good news. I mean, this is just one area. I'm not saying there's not others, you know, that we'll have. And we want to support other people too. Amen. And we want to get the gospel to the world. Amen. Maybe it's you. You say, well, I got to call it. Well, let's get in there. Let's keep praying. Let's get ourselves ready. Amen. You may be the next one we send. God knows. Amen. God knows. You say, well, you know, we're not going to be able to hold you back. You know, if God wants you to do things, he'll bring it to you. Amen. Well, I'm going to stop there today. I want us to see right now that place of stewardship, that place of provision. He's going to take care of me. I'm not going to worry. I don't have to fret. I know God will take care of me. But then we want to say, okay, this is what I have, Lord. What do you want me to do with all that belongs? Really, all of it belongs to you. And next week, we may take a step further. All right. That's just to keep us hungry and looking forward. Praise the Lord. So if you have something you want to give today or you have given something already, thank you very much. We praise God. We're not relying on man, but we're trusting in God. How many know he's got lots more money than all of us put together? He knows where it is and he knows how to get it to us. Hallelujah. That's what we're believing. We know that he is faithful. However, if you want to be a part, hallelujah. I think it was one preacher, he said, well, I'd rather be a part of the church that needs millions because I know some of it's going to come through me. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're out there and you said, well, I got a million I want to give, praise the Lord, we'll take it. Thank you very much. M-I-L-L-I-O-N. Million. So anyway, praise the Lord. If you're listening or anybody here, you can also give online at Family Prayer Center, CNTRE.com. And you just go on there and there's a tab for giving that is available. And if you want to make a donation, I think it says donation. And you can get on there and you can donate with your card. We're not encouraging you going to debt. Please do not go into debt to give to us. You know, just use it for convenience sake only. Amen. So God wants you to give of what you have, not what you don't have. Okay? That's just where we are. That's what we believe. That's what we know that the Bible says. It says he is pleased with what we have. So if we don't have, what can we do? We know how we can get some, don't we? Amen. That was good, Pastor Doug. We know how we can get some. We can ask, can't we? We can say, Father, I want to give more. I want some extra money this week. Bless God. I remember one particular lady, she'd never heard that. She says, I didn't realize we could ask God for money, for things. She come in and she wanted to find me. And she found me. This was just a few, couple years ago. Well, 3 years ago now. But she came and found me to tell me, hey, I God blessed me. My neighbor called me. I got to do this babysitting for her. I've got three kids. I can't be going to work all the time. This is just perfect for me. And I have brought some money to give to the kingdom. God has blessed me. There are ways. God knows how to get it to you. Sometimes it involves work. Amen. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, it may be some other wisdom, some super idea that he gives us. Amen. How many know it can happen? I know Paul Young-Yi Cho. Well, I guess it was David now. Or, you know. But anyway, he said that he didn't have any millionaires in his church when he started. None. Now he's got a few. Because they heard God. You know, buy this property. Do that. You know. Amen. How many know that's a good thing, right? God says to do something, we want to be what? Obedient. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm not going to get into all that, but that's part of being a steward. So thank you for giving, those of you that have and those of you that are going to give. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the giving, Lord, today. I ask that you bless each giver, Father. Lord, as they are faithful with little, Father, you said you'll make us faithful with much. And Father, I thank you for the increase, Lord, in people's lives. I thank you for jobs. I thank you for opportunities. I thank you for supernatural promotion. I thank you for supernatural direction, Lord God, from you. And we trust you, Lord, that you are our provision. And that, Lord, you will help us to be a good steward of all that you give us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We worship you. And Father, we thank you for your word today. Hallelujah. How many are believing with me for a good utterance today? Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. Amen. It says under the old covenant, he said he can make my tongue as that of a ready writer. He can also fill our mouth. Amen. Now, last Sunday, we were talking about the new birth and the restoration of God's dominion in the earth through Jesus Christ. Amen. How much Adam lost. I don't know if we fully yet understand the gravity of the loss that Adam and Eve went through, the death of leaving and losing that fellowship with God. It's like you and I today. Some of us, we have some pretty good fellowship. Pretty good. I believe there's many more places that we're going to go in the Spirit and that we're going to go in prayer. Because I believe there's greater authority with God than we have yet realized. We have tapped into some, and we have scratched the surface, and we have seen a few things. But how many know there's greater authority with God than there is in this world? Now, let me give you one example of that. When I was, well, I have a friend that in prayer, I mean, God shows you something in prayer. He can do something about it. Amen. He expects us to continue to pray. And we were praying. We're just minding our own business. And he had a little vision. And he saw this particular person that was in a position of authority in the government. Saw a little imp on her shoulder. Right there. And God told him, I want you to take authority, cast that out. And he cast that thing out and he saw in the spirit it ran off. 2 weeks later, she resigned from her position and was no longer in any place of authority. And it was of God. There are places in the spirit that we can go and exercise authority that are greater than we'll ever do in this natural realm. We need people that are willing to go. We need to pray for the Daniels that are already in positions of authority, that God will give them favor and grant them grace, and they'll be faithful and they'll stand strong and they'll have favor with the king. Sometimes there's persecution involved in the midst of it, but Daniel still found favor in the eyes of the king. Amen. And he continued to pray and he continued to stand in God. God gave the favor. Amen. When we trust God, and that's what we do when we exercise our authority in the earth. Now, that's not really my, Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want us to look a little bit more at this new birth. Because you were, as we said last week, born again. You were changed. You didn't stay the same. You didn't stay an old sinner. You said, well, I struggle with my flesh, you may. But how many know we really have all authority over it? Jesus gave it to us. There's nothing, if you're really born again, once you're born again, there's nothing that the devil can make you do. I don't want to get outside the camera, sorry. Move back over, let me know. Hallelujah. But there's that place in him. We operate in authority because it's what God gave us when we were born again. And he says, you now have received what? A power that is greater than all the power of the enemy. The littlest member of the body of Christ has more power on the inside of them with that new nature. It's like it's greater than, you know, it doesn't matter if they're just a little bitty, little toe on the body of Christ, the baby toe there. They got more power over all the power of the enemy. He is not full of all power. God is full of all power. He said, I am all powerful. Now, I'm not saying he has no power. But he really only has the power that he can deceive us to believe that he can use against us. His greatest power is that of deception. He tries to get people deceived. What? With their mind or emotion? That's how he works. That's where he works. He works in our outward man, doesn't he? He works on our emotions. He works on trying to deceive man that they are, you know, no. The same thing he did to Adam and Eve, you know, and tried to deceive them. You'll not surely die. He's trying to deceive you and I. You're not surely what God said you are. God decreed you a son, an heir, and a joint heir with him. Amen. If we be sons, let's look at that first. Romans 8. I'll start there. Hallelujah. The nature that we receive, the completeness of that born again nature. Verse 15 says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That means you're free of that. But you've received what? The spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba Father or Daddy God. In other words, you are the father of my spirit. Now the spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We're sons and daughters of God. And if children, then we are what? Heirs. Here it is right here. We are heirs of God. joint heirs, what with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So, what is that? The suffering is that we die to ourselves. We allow our life to become completely surrendered to the life of God on the inside of us. And that our outward man is what? Perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day. It is coming to more life. It is coming to more understanding of who he really is. When we spend that time with God, when we spend that time praying in other tongues, we're not wasting our time. We are developing our spiritual man on the inside. I don't care if you're driving your car, taking a shower, what you're doing, but if you're praying in other tongues, the very mind of God is being prayed for you. And you're beginning to understand who you really are. Because the greater one that's on the inside of you is coming forth to reveal to you everything you are in Christ. And that is, as we talked about last week even, true righteousness and true holiness that you were born into. Your nature was not born in sin, but born in true righteousness and holiness, and sin was kicked out. Hallelujah. It shall not, Romans 6:14, it shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not have dominion. You have a Father that loves you. You are a love child of a love God. And his love, which was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, is what's going to continue to build and what's going to continue to come forward until all you are is who Jesus is in this earth. And the fullness of who he is, you can walk in if you want it. You can have all of God that you want. Now, you can stop anywhere along the line. Many people do. Oh, boy. So now you've gone to meddling. No, we can have all of God that we want. But if you want to stop somewhere along the line, you can stop. You say, well, as far as I'm going with God, I'm just going to walk at this place. I'm happy. I'm satisfied there. I'm going to go to heaven. But on the inside, if you'll keep fellowshipping with him, he's the one what that keeps drawing us, doesn't he? Our heart continues to build. Our heart continues to change. What? For love for God and for man. Because what? The love of God, which is poured forth into our heart, into our spiritual being, is what's going to begin to come forward. Because that's how we know. We've mentioned that. How do we know we're really born again? Because we love the brethren. We love one another. You say, well, sometimes I don't love them, but yeah. No, you listen to your spiritual man, not your outer man. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. And when we begin to allow the love of God to continue to come forward, and we walk in the love of God, we practice the love of God, we practice forgiving and loving our neighbor, as we talked about. Amen. Talked about loving our enemies first, didn't we? That's the first thing that Jesus talked about, love. He says, they do you wrong, pray for them. We're going to pray, right? Do good. Pray, do good, forgive them, right? Hold them blameless before God. Said, what did Jesus do at the cross? He said, what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You said, why are you on this love thing, Pastor Doug, again? Because it's who you are. And it's who God is. The Bible says God is love. I'm not talking about a love that's wishy-washy, ooey-gooey, mooey-hooey. We're talking about a love that is sincere and pure and holy and righteous and doesn't change. Our Father's love for you will never change no matter what you're doing. He loves the sinner the same way. They just have not yet responded to love. They've not yet known his love to the degree that they respond to him. and receive Him as their Savior. But the love of God has changed more lives and more people than anything else. Because He said, for God so loved the world, He what gave? His only begotten Son. He gave. And you and I, because we love God and because we love the world, we give our life. And it works something in us. It begins to work what? Death on the inside of us. Death to us, but life to those around us. So the death that works in our flesh brings life forward from our spirit. So, well, where's that? Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go over there for a minute. I better get back up here to my desk here. 2 Corinthians 4. Hopefully I didn't wander off on anybody online there. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Let's look at, let's start in verse 7. I want to get down to around verse 16, but let's just start here and kind of see this here. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Amen. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Anybody have any trouble there? We don't want to be in despair, do we? Sometimes we're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that what? The life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So we are bearing about in our body a death that brings forth the very life of Jesus. It is a death to the flesh, a death to our own desires, a death to things that try to pull us away. Our own thoughts, our own emotions. How many know, even the Bible says that it is the Word of God that separates between what is of our soul, our mind, our will, our emotion, our intellect, and what is of our spirit. They are very closely twined. Our heart is very closely entwined with our soulish person. And unless we spend time with God, seeking Him, many times it's very difficult to discern. And even sometimes then, we have to stay in there long enough until we are certain of the answer. It's the way we make decisions. We pray. Amen. Well, that's good preaching. I don't care if anybody says amen or not. It's still so. If you'll spend time and you'll get in there and you'll wait long enough and be patient enough and keep praying, you will receive the answer. Amen. It's going to come to you. It's going to be clear to you. It may not be every word. It may not come even in the form of words, but your spirit will begin to build and to know. I remember when Brother Hagin would talk about that. He said, God is not going to lead you by a special gift on the inside of you. He's going to lead you the way He leads all Christians, by your spirit. Now, how I got off on that, I'm not sure. But anyway, I'm talking about the life of Jesus that's going to come forward. That's how He did. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Here we go again. That the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. Now here Paul's saying, hey, there's a death that works on the inside of those that are seeking after God, that know Him, so that there may be a manifestation of life coming forth from the life of Jesus in you, which produces what? Life into other people. They come to Christ. They come to be healed. They come and they receive whatever it is they need. Hallelujah, because our flesh is dying, our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Hallelujah. That just means abound. It's in other words, it's there, but it abounds to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, though, here it is, our outward man perish, yet the inward man is what? Renewed day by day. So in other words, he's saying here, we know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, and one day, yeah, we're going to be changed. We're going to get a glorified body, and we'll stand in heaven with God forever. But right now, there's a place in him that we can live and move and have our being, and the very life of God can come forth from us, in us, to us, and what? Through us. That is his goal. He wants us to be satisfied, yes. He wants us to work in that relationship with him. And from that overflow, from the life of God that lives on the inside of us, it will continue to build. He'll continue to guide as we spend what? That time in worship, that time in prayer, that time in the Word of God, that time seeking him and seeing who we really are. Change from the place of death to a place of life. In Christ Jesus, the very life of God, the Zoe of God, the Bible says, it is the very life of God on the inside of us. We're not old sinners saved by grace. Now, some people will tell you that. I'm sorry, you're wrong. I'm telling you straight, it's wrong. Because if he didn't change you and I, then we're not born again. Because if you've got a death nature, then you're not going to heaven. Now, I'm not saying those that believe that, you know, aren't going to heaven. They've been changed. They're just not realizing it. They're not seeing the truth. They've not yet come across that truth. Even though they've been changed, maybe they received Jesus into their life, they were changed. And some of them live holier than some of you in here. Hallelujah. It's true anyhow. It doesn't mean they're bound any longer to sin. They're just not acknowledging everything that Christ is in them. Not yet. Hopefully they will. I've got some people in my own family like that. You know, they've received Jesus. They're going to heaven. They're not going to go to hell. They're going to make heaven. They love God. They think God's great. Yet they don't understand the fullness of the freedom that God has made and the dominion that he has restored to mankind, that there can be what? Change in the earth, because the inward man is continually renewed, continually moving forward with God. Hallelujah. Is that our light afflictions, which but for a moment works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What are the things that are not seen? That's what? The inside man. That's our spiritual man. That's the things that God is working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, bringing forth that light. Amen. Through what? The thanksgiving of many may abound to the glory of God. Hallelujah. How many want to have a whole lot of fruit in your life? Amen. We don't want just a few people getting saved. I know it doesn't look like much right now. Hang on. We're moving. We're going to see the glory of God. If we'll not quit, and will continue to pursue Him. He has promised, I will pour out of my Spirit in the last days what the former and the latter reigned together, the very glory of God. It is time. We are here on the cusp of a great move of God. We have entered just barely. I believe it's starting. I believe things are happening. But it starts somewhere right here, doesn't it? You say, well, what's God waiting on? He's been waiting on us for 2,000 years to get things straightened out. Well, maybe not the whole time. You know, some of the disciples and so forth, they had it going pretty good. They were moving forward in Him. And there's different segments of the world that have been going. But we're talking about God pouring out the glory of God. If we'll continue to stand, He's not going to put up with people being half in and half out anymore. Not in this part, not in this time. This is a new day and a new hour, and He's raising up men and women of God full of His power, full of His life, that will allow holiness and righteousness to reign in them. They're not going to be compromised back and forth. They're going to be sold out to Him. And that's what's going to get the job done. We're going to know His voice. His voice has got to become the clearest thing that we hear. You say, well, what's all this other static about? Well, you live in an earthly world. We're stuck in time still. So we've got to get more time with Him than we do to other things. Amen. Amen. And sometimes it's good things. We got to keep giving that time to Him. Keep listening. And when we hear, be obedient. Quick to obey, right? We want to hear. And when He says it's the time, I'm not saying everything, because some things, hey, He may share things that are to come. Amen. We want to keep that down. But realize, hey, He's going to direct your life. He's going to take you from one place of glory to the other. Yep, that includes Brother Mike. You know, amen, brother. We'll let our life. He's working that. He's cleaning. He's working in you. We keep praying in the Holy Ghost the truth of who you are. That new creation reality of who you have been made is alive on the inside of you. Amen. We'll be singing about it. We sing about it. We talk about it. We've just got to allow it. Continue to practice it. Continue to allow Him to build it. Continue to spend that time in worship with Him. I know. Anyway. Hallelujah. He wants me to build this again. I was thinking about preaching something else, to be honest. And I know He wants us to realize who we really are. He wants us to realize that we are changed people. We're not bound to live in sin anymore. Let's go to Romans 6 for a minute. I'm going to close over here, I think. I think we're just going to go that far. But it says here in verse 14, I'm going to start in verse 14 here in Romans 6. Now, he's talking all through here, and really through the book of Romans, Paul really begins to describe what it's like. Born again, not born again. Born again, not born again. Those that aren't born again, you know, he said everyone has sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's true. But we've also have redemption through Christ Jesus. He's sharing the difference. He's explaining how the born again experience really works. And here in the 6th chapter, it's pretty powerful. You know, the first verse said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that God may abound? Now we know he's still talking about sin here. In verse 14, he said, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Don't you know that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He said, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants to what? To uncleanness and to impurity, unto iniquity, so now yield your members as you used to do when you were a sinner, you yielded to iniquity, to sin. Now yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You didn't have the righteousness. You were free of righteousness. You were bound in sin, but now you're free from sin. And you can yield to righteousness 100%. Because why? The righteous one moved in. As we talked about last week, Ephesians 4:24. We are created in true, your spirit was born again in true righteousness, true holiness. You are a son or daughter of the living God. You belong to Him. You're an heir of God. You're going to do exploits with Him as we continue to know Him and to walk in what He has created us to be and the dominion that He has ordained from the foundation of the world. He ordained that dominion. He said, I have already predestined you to be conformed to the image of Jesus. You can do it. You can be conformed. You can walk in that continual process of transformation into everything that Jesus has called us to be until what? All things are possible begin to happen for you. Said, well, I'm not... Who am I? A son, a daughter of the living God. That's who you are. You are important. God believes in you. God loves you, yes, but He believes in you. And He's counting on you to continue to pursue Him, to let that relationship be strong enough on the inside of you. Nothing is going to stop you. Amen. And we're going. We're going to do it. Who's going to help me? Who's going to help me? Who wants to go there? Amen. We want to go there, don't we? We're going to have it. We're not going to stop. We're not going to quit. We're not drawn back. No. We're moving forward because of who we are. We're letting death reign in this body, and life is going to begin to come forward from our spiritual being through our body. Yes, our body doesn't care. It doesn't make decisions for us. We got to make the decisions. Amen. It tries to. It tries to. Don't you want to watch one more movie on Netflix, right? One more movie. One more episode. Why? Because our emotions get involved. And the enemy tries to use that. See, you are making an impact or he wouldn't try to stop you. Amen. You are making an impact. You are important. All of us are. But we're moving forward. We're going to let that death continue to work. And we're going to let the life of God come forward as we spend that time with Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for who you created us to be. That we are your very sons and daughters of the living King. We belong to you, Lord. We are heirs and joint heirs with him. And you live in us and with us, Lord. Jesus prayed that that same love that you had for him would be in us, Lord. That same love, that same life. Lord, we thank you for making us one with you, Jesus. The union that you created on the inside of us and the power that you have given us to walk with you. Oh, Father, we thank you. We hunger for you, Lord. We let hunger rise on the inside of us, Lord. We desire you as never before, Father. Oh, Holy Spirit, continue to draw us. Lord, if we've slowed down or we've drawn back in any way, Father, forgive us. And draw us again. Draw us afresh and new, Lord, into your presence, into who we really are, that we may be a light to all those that see it. And they will see the works of our Father and glorify our Father in heaven. Lord, just like Jesus told John, He said, oh, you tell him all the works, the dead, the blind see, the lame walk, the maimed are being made whole, the deaf hear. You tell John, this is what's happening. Yeah, I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that's to come. He wants us to walk with that so that we'll say, you don't believe us? Believe the works that God does through us. Amen. The world's hungry for power. They're hungry to know Him. They're hungry. And we're going to bring Him. Amen. All right, Father. We thank You, Father. I preached again a little bit. Sorry about that. I was supposed to be praying. Anyway, praise the Lord. How many are going to pray for me? Amen. I know, because I know that I know that I know. There's some places we're going in God. There's some places in prayer we haven't yet touched, but we're going there. I'm going to bring some things forth. If we don't quit, we'll get there. Amen. The Holy Spirit's going to help us. Thank You. Thank You for coming this morning.